God is scary, but he's good and he's merciful. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, that was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Kellogg. You're listening to Key Life, practical Bible principles for daily living. Now, here with Bible in hand is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Hosea as we continue with our Old Testament survey. If you were listening yesterday, I kind of went off on a tangent, which I'm going to try and finish today, and jumped ahead to the book of Amos. Now, we're going to look at Amos in detail when we get to Amos, but it's a good thing sometimes to compare the ministry of Amos with the ministry of Hosea. And I took some time to do that. They were contemporaries of each other. Both prophets spoke of judgment to the northern kingdom, and that happened, by the way, in 722 B.C. But there are some dissimilarities between Amos and Hosea. And in order to get a little bit of the flavor of Hosea, I was taking some time to compare the two prophets. And I read a bit from Amos 5 and the judgment passage, the famous one, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Hosea was not the prophet you invite to dinner at a ladies' aid social. At any rate, I said yesterday that Amos lived in the south, that's in Judah, and he spoke to the north. Hosea lived in the north, and he spoke to the north. And you say, so? That means that Hosea was the pastor who had to stay after the prophets left. I mean, he had to be there. He couldn't just leave. And I suggested that one of the really nice things about what I do, and I'm fairly itinerant in my speaking, I go to a lot of places over a period of a year, and I have a wonderful opportunity to meet a lot of different people in a lot of different states and sometimes other countries, but I get to leave. So I can say whatever I want to say. I can say and have said from the pulpit, listen, I know you don't like what I just said, but I don't care. I'm getting on an airplane when this is over, and I'm out of here. I'm history. And they laugh as if I were making a joke. But the pastor smiles, and he knows I've got to stay here. I've got to be here. That's why James McLeod in the South had such a powerful ministry. When so many people that came from the North in the civil rights movement did not. James McLeod had crosses burned in his front yard. People made fun of his kids and him. He went through a horrible time. And but he was home, and he stayed. And after a while, he was victorious. It makes a difference when you got to stay. And it makes a difference as you read through the book of the prophet Hosea, that this was a man who was a part of his place, and he didn't leave when the going got tough. One of my favorite people in the world is Doug Hall at Emmanuel Gospel Center in Boston. Doug doesn't come from the suburbs to minister to the bad areas of the city. Doug doesn't come from the wonderful, nice mountaintop to go down into the valley to help the benighted folks in the inner city. Doug is there, and he loves that place. He loves what's going on. He is a pastor, and he doesn't leave, and God has used him in a wonderful way, and that's true with Hosea. And then secondly, Amos and Hosea both spoke absolute truth, but the emphasis was different. While Amos spoke of God's wrath, Hosea spoke of God's love. While Amos spoke of judgment, Hosea spoke of mercy. Let me tell you something. God is scary. Ask Amos, he'll tell you. God is not somebody you want to mess with. You ask Amos, he'll tell you. God is big, and he's infinite, and he's powerful. You ask Amos, he'll tell you. But let me tell you something else. God is merciful. He's filled with loving kindness. You can ask Hosea, and he'll tell you. Then by way of dissimilarities between Amos and Hosea, Amos, the message was a message of truth. For Hosea, the message is a message of pathos. You know what a man told me one time? He was talking about working in his office. Now, this is a Christian man who really has a burden for the lost. And he said, you know, most of the people in my office are lost. And I try to be kind and compassionate, to not be judgmental. I try to create questions so they'll ask questions, and then I can have some answers. I really care about the people in my office, and he really, really did. He was saddened, and he was burdened. But then he told me about his mother, who was not saved. And you know what happened? He wept. There's a difference between Amos and Hosea. You don't get the feeling that Amos cries a whole lot. He was kind of the trafficant of, that's a poor analogy. I just happened to see those trials in Congress. But you get the feeling that Amos is sort of in your face that way. I mean, he's sort of angry and mean-spirited. But you get this idea that Hosea was in love with God, that he shared God's heart of pathos for his people. So there's a difference between Amos and Hosea. And you're going to like Hosea, but you're going to need Amos. But we'll talk more about Hosea, the prophet of love, tomorrow. You think about that. Amen. It's my practice on Wednesdays. My pastor comes in on Fridays and we answer questions together. And if I say anything that is really heretical, he'll correct me on Friday. We get lots of questions from you guys, and we love to get them, but you got to write them down. Write to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address if you'd like a response. By the way, we take you seriously. You always get a response from me, from a staff member on the broadcast in the magazine. But don't use the 1-800 number for questions. You can get a lot of neat free stuff by calling that number. You can make a contribution. You can become a part of Key Life Tapes. But you got to write your question down. All right, enough. Let's get to these. By the way, whenever you write or call, give us the call letters of this station. And check out, you know, a dear friend of mine didn't even know we had a website. And I got an email from my friend, and she said, "Steve, you didn't tell me about this. This is so cool." So check it out. You'll be surprised. There's some neat things there to get you home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. You can listen to today's broadcast, the previous 30. It's keylife.org, so check it out. All right, to some of these questions. What does the phrase, this is Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain, what does it really mean? Well, it sort of means, if I've got to hang around, it's okay. If I got to die, it's okay. I remember a man, Joe Sabia, I think was his name, who was in our helicopter when I was in commercial broadcasting. You know, those guys that go out every day and they report on the traffic that's going on in the city. Well, Joe was the helicopter guy, and he broadcast from the helicopter. And I said to him, "Joe, I don't believe I'd want to do that. You know, every time you go up, the odds get really, really close that you could crash." He said, "I know, but I'm a Christian. If I go up, I go down. If I go down, I go up." That's an proper exposition of Philippians 1:21. To live is Christ. In other words, if I don't die, I'm his, and I serve him. To die is gain, because if I die, I'm going to heaven. So if I live, or if I die, it's okay. All right. Does God want me to be happy? That's from Florida. That reminds me of a quote from Martin Luther. Now, I didn't say this. Martin Luther said it. I'm a teetotaler. Martin Luther said, "Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy." And Luther said that laughing also. Yeah, I don't think God's against you being happy, but that's not his priority. A lot of people have this idea that God stays up all night admiring us and thinking, how can I make him happy tomorrow? That's not what this thing's about. This thing is about God's glory, about the magnification of God's name. It's about his honor and not ours. But let me let you in on a secret. Because that was the reason you were created. When you do that, there is true joy and there's true happiness because you're doing what you were created to do. And so, but I understand what you're saying about that. You ever hear somebody who's going through a divorce? No reason for it. They're just saying, you know, God wouldn't want me to be this unhappy. God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to go find somebody else I like better. You know where that comes from? It comes from the pit of hell. And it smells like smoke. God wants you to be happy, but he wants you to be happy in the right way. And that's being within the context of what he's revealed to us. I had at one time all the stuff that should have made me happy. I had a beautiful wife. She's still beautiful. Had a baby on the way. I was doing the morning show at a radio station, making lots of money. Had an apartment where I could see the ocean on one side and the bay on the other side. All that stuff should have made me happy. I remember coming back to the porch of my apartment and standing there and crying like a baby. God wants you to be happy, but it may not be the way you want him to make you happy. All right, I'm about to run out of time here. See if I can get a short one that I can say, I gave my life to Christ. This is from Ontario. Do I have to be baptized in order to be saved? Well, I certainly can answer that quickly. You crazy? No, of course not. You're saved by faith in Christ alone. But you ought to get baptized because Jesus told you you ought to get baptized. If you're Reformed, the baptism as a child will be confirmed in your salvation. If you're a Baptist, your baptismal service will affirm that you belong to Christ. But it's an outward sign of an inward grace. Gotta go. Key Life, and I'm going to say this slowly, is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.